Stay tuned for Quality News Network at the...
This is the Quality News Network. In Salt Lake City today, President Bush gave a speech at an American Legion gathering of 12,000 veterans. He predicted victory in the war on terror and compared the fight against Islamic fundamentalism to the battle against Nazism and communism. The latest AP Ipsos poll reveals that only one in three Americans approves of the president's leadership. In Vienna, a report by the International Nuclear Watchdog Agency released today states that Iran has no signs of freezing its uranium enrichment despite Western demands to do so by today's UN deadline. President Bush said today, quote, there must be consequences for Tehran. Earlier today, Iran's president insisted that his country would not accept bullying. At the United Nations today, the U.S. Ambassador John Bolton announced that the UN Security Council must now be ready to impose sanctions on Iran. He added that unanimity on the council was not necessary to move ahead. Across Iraq today, a series of violent attacks, most within a half hour, including two car bombs, left at least 51 people dead. The majority were killed in a Shiite part of Baghdad. More than 126 Iraqis were wounded. Since Sunday, 250 people have been killed in and around Baghdad. In Gaza today, for the first time in several weeks, Palestinian militants fired up to 10 rockets into Israel. There were no reports of damage. In fighting today in the West Bank, Israeli troops killed a Palestinian militant. In southern Lebanon today, a portion of the region has been transferred to the Lebanese army and international troops by the Israeli army. In Sweden, at an international donors conference today, more than $940 million in aid has been pledged by countries around the world to help rebuild Lebanon. The UN Security Council has voted to create a peacekeeping force in Sudan's Darfur region. However, the AP reports that the Sudanese government has rejected giving the UN authority over peacekeepers in their country. In Norway, to Edward Monk paintings stolen from an Oslo museum by gunmen 2 years ago have been recovered by police. In Mexico, along the Pacific coast, up to 10,000 people are evacuating because of Hurricane John. And along the North and South Carolina coast, hurricane watches are in place as Tropical Storm Ernesto regains strength. And California will soon be the first state in the nation to set broad caps on greenhouse gas emissions. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said he expects America's productivity to keep growing solidly for some time to come. The Commerce Department reports that consumer spending in July rose 0.8%. That's the largest amount in 6 months. In August, retail stores reported solid sales. Merchants such as Walmart, Federated, and Limited Brands did well with back-to-school shoppers. Panasonic will begin selling a 103-inch television set, the world's largest, for $80,000. LG Electronics and Sharp expect a 20 to 30% drop in prices for flat LCD television sets next year because of overproduction and cost reductions. Mortgage rates fell for the sixth straight week. Freddie Mac reports the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate loan has dropped to 6.44%. Ford Motor is considering the sale of its luxury Aston Martin brand. Ford has owned the British sports car line since 1987 as part of its European luxury unit, which includes Land Rover and Volvo. And BP officials say they're optimistic that Prudhoe Bay oil production may be returned to normal levels earlier than expected. Light sweet crude settled at $70.26 a barrel today. And near the close of Wall Street, the Dow is down 2 points. The Nasdaq is also down 2. The S&P 500 is flat. There's always more at our website, Quality News Network. QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov. It's 5.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, mean strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean strike.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Bruce Birch Radio Program right here on the Head On Radio Network. Glad to be back with you again today. I've got a number of interesting announcements. Where do we start? First of all, I wanted to thank everyone who sent me emails and correspondence and various ways that you communicated with me about my birthday yesterday. I turned 37 yesterday. And, I'm still a young punk. That's all right. The youth of America is where the future lies, folks. So, thank you. Thank you very much for all of you who contacted me and who sent me emails and cards and various communications to say, thank you for wishing me happy birthday. It's fantastic. We're building a community here at the Head On Radio Network, and those of us who are hosts find it to be an honorable thing to be your hosts, to be here to present high quality conversation radio to you each and every day. So thank you very much. Also, we have a new time slot for the Bruce Birch radio program. In addition to the time slot that you hear here, that you hear right here on the Head On Radio Network, you can also hear me on radiopower.org. If you go to radiopower.org, I believe I'm not sure exactly when it's starting. I think it's already on the schedule, so maybe tomorrow. But Shelby LaPre over at radiopower.org is going to be also broadcasting the Bruce Birch radio program from 8 until 10 a.m. Eastern every day, Tuesday through Friday. So thank you, Shelby, and thank you. Welcome aboard, all you listeners over at Radio Power. Glad to have you on board with the Bruce Birch radio program. Hope that enjoy listening as much as I do putting it together. So glad to have you on board. And as always, during the radio program, we're chatting at the Head On Radio Network chat room. We are blogging at headonradionetwork.com. There are, if you go to the headonradionetwork.com website, you can go straight up. We also have some forums. You can go and register and join in those. But the chat room is where all the action's at. I'm telling you, that's where all the action's at, folks. Go check out the chat. Let's see. I think I had another announcement. What was that? Apparently, yesterday, someone decided that the Head On Radio Network was worthy of a Wikipedia entry. So if so if you go to wikipedia.com or .org, I guess it's .org, and type in Head On Radio Network, you will find us there. That's kind of cool. I was given that news this morning, and so I thought that was kind of amazing. Conversation radio is taking off here in the liberal internetosphere, internet tubes. we're taking off, and we're absolutely glad to be with you, and absolutely glad to be able to present to you high quality conversation radio. Now, if you want to get in on the show today, it's really simple. You dial 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me if you like doing that. You can email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. The last name is B-U-R-C-H, just like Ben Birch, who, by the way, is no relation, but I'll claim him. What the hell? Yes, you can email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. You can also go check out my radio blog site, at brucebirch.com. Okay. All right, on with the show. Today we've got a number of different things to talk about, not the least of which is the disinformation campaign that the resident decider, George W. Bush, is doing across the country. I think he's in Utah today, maybe. Yeah, I think it's Utah today. And, he's running around the country now. He's trying to sell this war much the same way he tried to sell the reform. I wouldn't call it Social Security reform. I would call it the looting of Social Security. He tried to sell that one, and people weren't buying. They just said, "No, you just go back to Washington. Don't you screw with my Social Security check, right?" Well, now what he's doing is he and his minions. That's right, Darth Cheney and Dumsfeld. They're running around the country trying to convince the American people that the war in Iraq is necessary and just to protect freedom, because freedom's on the march. Okay? Let's listen to a clip. I want to hear play. Go ahead and play you a quick clip by Dumsfeld himself here.
It was a time when a certain amount of cynicism and moral confusion set in among Western democracies. When those who warned about a coming crisis, the rise of fascism and Nazism, they were ridiculed or ignored.
Like us.
Indeed, in the decades before World War II, a great many argued that the fascist threat was exaggerated. I recount that history because once again we face similar challenges in efforts to confront the rising threat of a new type of fascism.
Uh-huh.
America. Today, another enemy, a different kind of enemy, has made clear its intentions.
American fascism.
With attacks in places like New York and Washington, D.C.,
Bali,
London, Madrid, Moscow, and so many other places.
Nebraska.
But some seem not to have learned history's lessons.
We haven't learned.
We need to consider the following questions, I would submit.
Okay, he's going to submit some questions.
With the growing lethality and the increasing availability of weapons, can we truly afford to believe that somehow, some way, vicious extremists can be appeased?
Interesting. Now, he wants to liken what's going on in Iraq with fascism. I don't know if anybody finds this as amusing as I do. Oh, my God. You know what it is. The deal is, ladies and gentlemen, is that, the current administration more closely resembles what happened in Germany and in Italy than any other administration on the face of the planet. It's called smoke and mirrors. It's called called redirection. It's called don't look at us. We're the good guys. Look at them. They're ragheads. Them, they're Islamo fascists. They're coming over here to kill us. They're going to kill us all. Ooh. Oh, my God. But, the crazy thing about this is that some of these people, these Dumsfelds and these the resident decider, George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, these people actually believe that we're going to buy this line of crap. They actually think that we're going to stand up and go, "Oh, yes, protect us. Keep us from getting killed." Well, you know what the reality is, ladies and gentlemen? It's just more fear-mongering. They're ratcheting up the fear again. They're ratcheting it up another notch. You got to be scared. Who was it? Gonzalez, El Torturador, the torturer. El Torturador Gonzalez. He was a couple weeks ago, talking about how there's terrorists in your hometown. Oh, there's terrorists in the trees. Oh, there's terrorists in the closet. Oh, I mean, you know, come on. I mean, I know we're getting close to Halloween and all that. I mean, it's another, what, a couple months away. But damn, give us a break, would you? All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll take a little bit more in-depth look at some of Dumsfeld's comments here on the Bruce Birch radio program. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bruce Birch. We'll be right back.
Start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart. Blacksmith and the artist reflected in their art, they forge their creativity closer to the heart.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Let's go back to the phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hi there, Bob.
Well, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
It's fine, sir. You all have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on this subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. You're very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
Oh, we won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good. Good man underground.
Head On.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Freer America, where you might not get smarter, but you'll know more. That's right. Right here. Glad to have you back with me. I'm just in a great mood today, just a fantastic mood. Let's go straight over to our free speech phone lines. If you want to get in on the show today, you know how to do it. 1-877-443-2366 is
Bruce,
the direct
Eureka
line.
Dave.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Really great. I get into a political discussion group here in a matter of minutes, but I wanted to share something with you. I heard it earlier today. I think I've heard it earlier before.
All right.
And that was an author that wrote out a pretty elaborate plan for committing a murder in a book that he wrote. It was published. And then some years later, he indeed perpetrated exactly the murder by the book that he had written. And, of course, the book that he had written served as real evidence to the police as to who had done it. And that is the reproduction now of a group called PNAC that sat down and planned out how they were going to be invading the Middle East, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Syria, their axis of evil, and how they plan to make it a very profitable venture for themselves. And they're following out the book.
They certainly are, David. You know, they did all this during Clinton's time. I think they were very much trying to push him into invading Iraq, and he resisted them. Now, you know, if you go to the, I think it's called NewAmericanCentury.org, Project for a New American Century, you know, you can go right there to the Statement of Principles page, and if you look at the signatories to that Statements of Principles, you will see basically a who's who of the Bush administration.
Right. You know, and one person that has broken down that whole PNAC recorded minutes very well for us is called Raytal.com, and he breaks down what's on what page. If you want to, you're interested.
Ray Taliaferro from KGO in San Francisco.
Right, he was one of the first to break this whole PNAC thing down for us, and he's got it on his site there, Raytal.com, and anything you'd like to know about of what they'd planned, what page it was spelled out on, and they did that. You know, I don't know what they were thinking. They didn't. Maybe at the time they didn't realize they were going to do it all.
Well, I think these folks have had a plan, and you know, obviously, I mean, they have carried it forward despite the waning public opinion, despite the fact that the entire war itself or the occupation was based on lies. I mean, they planned to do the Iraq invasion well before 9/11 even occurred.
Right,
and which to me, David, you know, I'll say it. You know, just as plainly as anyone else has, which to me points to a justifiable reason for them to commit 9/11.
Right, and I guess Wolfowitz was keeping the notes and offered the opinion that, and of course we will need a new Pearl Harbor type of event to get the people to support this invasion. And, you know, I didn't say it, but obviously, they agreed, yeah, no big problem. When you got our kind of conscience and character, we can do that. You know, no big deal. And they spelled it out, you know.
And they certainly did. And you know, what we're dealing with now is the aftermath of that. You know, what I think they didn't realize is you know, first of all, what they wanted to do is, in my view, they wanted to create a situation that would allow them to loot our treasury and loot the treasuries of you know, every country that they encountered. You know, Afghanistan didn't have much, but I'm sure they took most of that. You know, that they are, as Bob Kincaid has pointed out on his show that follows mine, there's no meters on the oil that they're pumping up out of the ground in Iraq.
No, there
nobody
isn't.
Knows how much oil has been looted from that place.
Or how much they're keeping in storage and not putting into circulation to keep the prices high. You know, they have that kind of control. But
yes,
some truly dreadful psychopaths have taken over the government of the United States, and they're there by fraud.
I would tend to agree with you. And what really, you know, there's a lot of evidence to indicate, I would say, you know, yeah, I would say some of them probably are psychopaths. I would say that the resident decider himself, W, is more sociopathic, but that's just a psychological observation.
Well,
he just, you know, when he was in Texas and he was murdering all of those prisoners, you know, I mean, he took great joy in based on everything that I've read and everything that I've seen and clips of him. You know, he didn't give a damn one iota for the lives that he was putting down.
He got gratified by a lot of it. He's living proof, though, that you can be both stupid and very dangerous. That's my assessment of W. But he's not pulling his own strings. That's my opinion, too.
Yeah.
But I have got to get to a meeting, and I love your program. I have to make a tough choice. I can't be both places. I'll be back.
Well, I will be the first one to tell you, David, if you're going out to a meeting to help change what's going on in the world, get your butt to the meeting. Because,
yeah, it's a political discussion group. Myself and Alice, who calls you, is usually always a part of it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Alice, right on.
Okay.
How is Alice doing these days?
She's magnificent. You know, I hope I'm anywhere near as together as she is when I'm almost 93.
Wow. Well, you know, you have a great time today. Give her my love, and I certainly hope that, that it is a fruitful discussion today.
We'll make it that. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Have a great afternoon. All right, that was David from Eureka, California. David is an avid listener of the program. He's going to go out to probably go to one of those seditious political meetings. I like those seditious political meetings myself. Sit down and and talk about how can we take over the country, or how can we run these bandits out of the White House and the Congress. I think it's especially important in this day and age to try to create those political discussion groups, okay? Because that's part of where, and then you drag somebody along with you who might be sitting on the fence and isn't necessarily all that politically active, but is interested in what you're talking about. Drag them along. Get them involved. More the merrier. We got to convince these people that the fascism that is rampant in the United States right now is not some sort of coined term that Michael the Wiener Savage or the Savage Wiener or the Wiener Boy has created. You know, that's where this whole term Islamo-fascist came from, was that moron out there in San Francisco who he's an avid racist, completely racist. I had the great bad fortune to be listening to him. He's actually here locally on one of the Wingnut radio stations. He's broadcast, and I one evening I was driving home from another job that I do, and happened to tune into him on the radio, and he was complaining because someone said that the greatest export of America culturally was jazz. And then he started playing all this weird-ass music. I don't know. He's a freak. The man is a freak. Complete freak. Good thing he's not on the horn. I don't think he would ever be on the horn. But, it is what it is. Now, I was talking about the Islamic, the fascist, the words, the Nazi references that Rumsfeld and the resident decider and Darth Cheney and all those people... You know, they are running around right now. You'll see this in the news this evening. They are enemies of freedom. They are enemies of America. And you know something? And I just want to get this right across from the very beginning. There is a historical perspective to this. And the historical perspective is, and I'm sure that if I am incorrect, I will definitely probably be corrected. But there is a political perspective to this, and the Arab peoples have been absorbed into one empire right after another. They've never had any real, as far as I understand, any real long-term experiment with self-governance. You know, and even when there was I was listening to an interview today, actually on NPR this afternoon in the car, and I heard a scholar who has written a book on the religious war, which as much as Bush would like to say, no, this is not a religious war, it is. He is it's the Crusades all over again. He sees himself as as whoever was the who led the Crusades back in the 12th century, 10th century, 11th century, whatever. That's what they've created. Now, there was according to this interview that I listened to this afternoon, and I'm going to look this up. I'm going to get the guy's book, and if I can remember the name of it, I'll tell you. Anyway, the guy's book was all about the fact that they have had no realistic experience with self-governance, and so democracy is a foreign governmental form to these folks. And the only times that they have had any sort of experience with democracy, it has been at the point of a gun. So when we come in and talk about democracy, the first thing that crosses the Arab person's mind is, oh, shit, oops, oh, stuff, there they come again, they're going to be here, they're going to take us over, they're going to come here and try to kill us all to make us full of democracy. That's what they're going to do. So the bottom line here, folks, is that be very wary of the language that you hear coming out of the Bushies and the Dumfelds and the Cheneys, because when they're talking about democracy, what they're really talking about is a benevolent dictatorship with George W. at the top of the heap. We're going to take a quick break. It's about 5:31 here on the Head On Radio Network. You're listening to Bruce Birch, and when we come back, we'll take calls. We'll do what we do right here on the Conversation Radio Network. I'll be right back.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. Donald Rumsfeld has a favorite saying, if you can't solve a problem, enlarge it. Well, that's what he and Cheney and Bush seem intent on doing. Stuck with the insoluble problem of Iraq, they're planning on enlarging it to neighboring Iran. Not for nothing that Bush's new national security strategy, unveiled in March, cites Iran as the greatest challenge the U.S. faces. And not for nothing that Bush has been ratcheting up pressure on Iran at the United Nations. For his part, Ahmadinejad is giving Bush a hand by snubbing his nose at the U.N. and by saying inflammatory things like Israel should be wiped off the map. Bush loves that. It helps him lay the groundwork for an attack, which will suit his own messianic delusions. Plus, Bush covets Iran's oil and gas. The Bush bombing of Iran is not likely to happen until 2007 or 2008, but the steady drumbeat does serve crass political purposes right now. Check out Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard. To increase Bush's popularity and to boost Republican chances in November, Barnes said the place to start is Iran. Thus, Rovian politics go hand in hand with Rumsfeldian designs. There is, of course, an obvious defect in Rumsfeld's dictum. Sometimes when you enlarge a problem, you just get a bigger mess on your hands. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
I can feel no sense of measure, no illusions as we take refuge in young man's pleasure, breaking down the dreams we make real.
That's right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, where we're not scared to say the name Mike Malloy. We'll say it. Mike Malloy, Mike Malloy, Mike Malloy, Mike Malloy, Mike Malloy. He is not the host that shall not be named. Here, he is he's Mike Malloy. For those of you who don't know what the hell I'm talking about, just stick around. You'll figure it out. All right. Now, and to that end, you know, here on the Horn, on the Head On Radio Network, you know, as a result of the Right Reverend Michael Malloy being terminated from Air America Radio, we have decided that, you know, and with his permission, we are running his Best of Mike Malloy from the IE America days, which is the liberal radio network that preceded Air America Radio. So every night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, you will hear an edited show that which is basically edits out the commercials. You will hear an edited show of Mike Malloy from back in the day, a classic Mike Malloy every night at 10 p.m. So do join us for that. You'll still get your mic fix, and you know, yes, it'll be from about issues that are. Have long since passed us by, but if you're like me, you didn't listen to Mike because of the issues. You listened to Mike because of Mike. Joining us on the line is our good friend Sarge from down there in Lowell, Mississippi. Sarge, how you doing this afternoon?
How you doing, Bruce? Hey, Bruce, I'm going to tell you, we love you down here, man. This guy here will support you 100%.
Well, I appreciate it, man. We're trying to put a Southern voice on the air, and you know, it's good to have Southern progressives down there supporting us. That's a good thing. Glad to have you.
Well, too bad I don't have a Southern accent.
Well, you know, all those years you spent in Mississippi just ruined it. You know.
I know. I just don't have an accent. I don't know what happened to it. But listen, I'm going to tell you right now. Anybody knows me knows that when it comes to Mike Malloy, I pull no punches. He is my man. I adore Mike Malloy. And if there's anybody in this world that is willing to speak up for him, you can bet it's me. In fact, right. If you go to my column today, you will see that I wrote about Mike. I told the stories about how Mike has helped people like me, because during the Hurricane Katrina, Mike put me on the air two nights in a row. He didn't have to do that. He asked me if I was okay. He asked me if I needed anything. And he wasn't just asking for the hell of it. Mike was asking because he gave a damn. And yeah. I called in the next night, and he talked to me again and gave me plenty of time. He has allowed me to get the word out about what's going on down here in Mississippi. He got me in touch with Greg Palace. I mean, Malloy has done nothing but been a class act, and Air America can go straight to hell if they want to treat a man of his stature like that. That is unforgivable. I don't give a damn who's on it. When it comes to Malloy, you don't get any better than that.
Well, you know, he definitely, you know, the guy is, as I said yesterday, you know, after all of us sort of found out gradually that he had been terminated, you know, from Air America, that I never heard him say anything or that sounded in the least bit insincere on the air. Now, I've heard other hosts, you know, say things that sounded like to me that they're being, you know, that they were saying it, that they didn't necessarily believe it, but they were going to say it anyway. But with him, you know, you knew, I mean, the passion of Mike Malloy, is really what carries him. I just
well, you
it
know,
is amazing.
You know, Bruce, the thing about Mike, he and I have emailed each other a lot through the course of the past year, and I've asked him, well, Mike, look, I know it's not the topic tonight, but can I call in and talk about Katrina? And he'd send me an email back, why not? You know, I mean, and then, like, on the show Tuesday, he, on the air even, asked me to call in, and because he wanted me to talk about what was going on. And, you know, I mean, to me, that's just class. Malloy is nothing but class. And I want to say, too, that Mike has posted about Peter Werby and asking people to be kind to Peter. And I don't know the situation, but Peter and Mike have talked. And Mike's asking everybody to give Peter a break. And so, therefore, if for no other reason, just because Mike asked, I hope everybody will kind of lay off of Peter and just give Peter a break here.
Yeah, he is Peter Werby and Mike are pretty close, and Peter has covered for him a lot over the last few years. And you know, Peter Werby has his own show on WRIF called The Night Call that's on Sunday nights at 11 o'clock. That's actually webcast as well. And I, you know, when I first got into listening to liberal talk radio myself, Peter was the first one that I found. And so, you know, I have a lot of respect for Peter. I know, based on everything that I've heard him say over the time that I've been listening to him, that he wouldn't, he wouldn't cross a friend, you know, like that if the friend didn't say, go ahead, you know. And what I'll do, with your permission, is go ahead and read you the update that's on his website.
Sure, go ahead.
You want to do that now? Okay. It says, hey, Truth Seekers, Malloy here. My good friend Peter Werby will be temporarily broadcasting on Air America Radio at night in my old time slot. He's a good guy, a true left liberal, and now finds himself in an awkward position. He cannot comment about the circumstances of my termination on the air, which I completely understand and support. I have been in Peter's exact position in the past. So I have a request. Please treat Peter with the respect he truly deserves. Please keep in mind he did not ask to be in this position. The righteous anger and frustration felt right now by so many supporters of our program should be expressed to Air America Radio directly. And then he gives the telephone number and the email address that you can send comments to. And that's right off of MikeMalloy.com. So.
Well, I tell you what, Bruce, the way I feel is if Mike asks that, then I think we should honor it. And I will say it right here, right now. And if I don't know if Peter's hearing you or not, but if he is, I'm going to tell him, Peter, you do what you got to do. So, if Mike supports you, you got my support. But also what we're doing at powersandmorrison.com is I've got it in my article today. First of all, we're asking everybody to just come on over the horn and forget about Air America. Second thing we're asking is there's a petition that we're asking people to go sign in support of Malloy to Air America.
Where is that located?
I'm sorry?
Where is that petition located?
It's I've got a link to it on my page. I don't know the link right offhand, but maybe someone in chat has it.
Okay, I'll go take a look.
Okay, but the third thing that we're going to do is we are forming a group at powersandmorrison.com, and anybody that's interested, please join us. And what we're going to do is we're going to work our tails off and do everything we possibly can to get Malloy back on the air as soon as possible, even if we have to try and come up with the money to pay a salary for him, because we have got to have Malloy.
Okay.
And what we're calling the group is Watch Your Back Group, in his honor.
Well, I'd say that's fitting. and I absolutely support you. And we need a Mike Malloy. Mike Malloy, to me, as I said yesterday, is the Thomas Paine of liberal talk radio.
When a station claims to be a liberal station, and you then they censor what you're saying, that you can't say what you want to, then they're not liberal. They're maybe moderate at best, but they're not liberal, because liberals believe in free speech. Well, sure, there's restrictions that ought to be applied, like by yelling fire in a theater or something. But for someone to give the truth out like Mike does, and to be fired for it, no way. That's not liberal. I'm sorry.
I agree, 100%.
Bruce, I'm going to let you go.
We shouldn't treat each other like that.
No,
you know, there's already, and we already have enough of a problem dealing with the folks on the right. We can't eat our own, and it really appears to be what has happened with mine.
I tell you what, the way I feel about it is, anytime a corporation gets involved in anything, they screw it up. And Horn, from my understanding about Head On Radio, is there will be no corporate power taking over Horn. And I support that, and I say hats off to you guys. Y'all keep up the good work. You got a great lineup, and I support you 100%.
Well, thank you, Sarge, and we really appreciate it. I know that, you know, all we're trying to do here is build some community and bring a different perspective to the radio spectrum that doesn't seem to be being met by, or didn't seem to be being met by, what was out there presently. So we really appreciate that comment and knowing that, you know, you guys are behind us 100%.
Well, I'm going to hang up, Bruce, but I appreciate you letting me talk about Mike and everybody. Let's show Mike that we stand by him 100%. Thank you, Bruce.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you, Sarge, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Now, excuse me, you can go to my website at brucebirch.com. If you don't know about the petition and you want to sign it, I just went over to the old Sarge's page there at Powers and Morris and found the link to the petition and got it up on my website already. If you go to brucebirch.com, under the August 31st, 2006 show post, you will see a link that says Mike Malloy Petition. So if you want to sign that and you want to support Mike in that way, you know, there's an easy way for you to do it. Just go over to my show blog and you can get right there. Okay? Now, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll do some other stuff. Okay? This is Bruce Birch on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing@irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
Bruce Burt's radio program. It's about 10 minutes to 8 minutes till the top of the hour. That's a little Frank Zappa for you. I got to tell you, I'm a Frank Zappa fan from way back. So if you want to correspond with me about some stuff, I'll tell you what, here you go. Here, I'll shoot you a little bit. I'll shoot you a link. I have a show blog at BruceBurch.com. Well, I also have a personal blog where I post a little stuff every now and then at BruceBurch.com/WP. As in WP, printer. And down there on the right-hand side of that page, you will see my friendly little Frank Zappa links. And I have a bunch of YouTube links to some Frank Zappa videos, if you're into that kind of thing. But that song was a Frank Zappa tune. This segment is a Frank Zappa segment here on the Bruce Burch Radio program. Now, I'm sitting here right now, and I'm looking at a weather map of the southeastern United States, and I see a huge green mass of, well, it's not that huge. It's big, though. A fairly large, let's put it that way. Let's say a medium to large, big green mass of spinning tempest off the coast of South Carolina and North Carolina that seems to be headed due north, and that's called Ernesto. That's called Ernesto. And if I turn my head and I look out the window, I see the wind blowing and I see the rain hammering down on us. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am right now I'm being besieged by a tropical storm right on the upper edges of it. In Greensboro, North Carolina, which is about 2 hours from the coast, 2.5 hours from the coast. And, you know, we get hit by these storms every so often. Now, we've had hurricanes roll through here. One in particular I remember a few years ago called Hurricane Fran, where we saw winds all the way this far inland, 2.5 hours inland, of about, you know, 75, almost 80 miles an hour. I mean, it just woof, you know, for 6 or 7 hours. Solid. You're getting hammered, you know. Pretty crazy weather. Pretty crazy weather, these hurricanes. Now, coming up in the next hour, at the top of the next hour. A gentleman will be joining me by the name of Michael Homan, who himself, along, you know, Sarge was just on with us. Now, Sarge is also a Hurricane Katrina survivor, but this gentleman I'll have on the next, in the next hour, Michael Homan, is also a Hurricane Katrina survivor, and he's going to talk to us about his experience down there, what happened before and afterwards. See, because, you know, we see the damage, and we see what happens when these storms roll in and smack you down, but we don't always hear about what it takes to recover from these natural disasters. So later on, you know, here in a little while, after the top of the hour, after we do the news, he'll be on to tell us about not only what happened when he was in his house, he rode out the storm in his home, but he also has had a hell of a time getting any help to help pay for the damage. So we're going to talk to him after the top of the hour. I'm looking at this thing. It's huge. It's not, of course, there's no way it's as big as Katrina was, but it's still large. Tropical Storm Ernesto. Now, if you're listening in North Carolina, there is a tropical storm warning in effect for Cape Lookout South. And this is for the residents of the following counties, which is, let's see. Oh, you know what? I'm going to refresh that. Here we go. Tropical storm warning in effect from Currituck Beach Light South. And hurricane watch in effect for Cape Lookout South. Carteret County, which is down in Moorhead City. And Onslow County, which is Jacksonville, North Carolina, and all that. Hyde, Dare, Craven, Beaufort, Tyrell, Washington. All these counties are now under a hurricane warning. I'm sorry, hurricane watch, tropical storm warning. Now, apparently, the center of Tropical Storm Ernesto is located presently near just off the coast, about 120 miles south-southwest of Wilmington, North Carolina. It's moving toward the north-northeast near 17 miles per hour. The track will bring it near the extreme southeast coast of North Carolina late this evening. It's going to move across the coastal plains after midnight and continue through the early morning hours on Friday. The maximum sustained winds are about 70 miles per hour with higher gusts. And they're saying now that it could strengthen a little bit more and reach the coast tonight as a minimal hurricane. So tomorrow, it'll be interesting to see what the weather's going to be like when I come on the air tomorrow. But looks like, as these things often do, they come in overnight. And so it's kind of crazy a lot of times when these things roll into North Carolina. I've been here, I've ridden out a few of them, and never have been down the coast when one hits. But here in Greensboro, you know, we have seen our fair share of those crazy storms that come up through here. So I would venture to guess that if it landfalls at about 75 mile an hour winds, we will probably see here sustained winds of probably 45 to 50 miles an hour easily. So it'll be interesting to see what the weather will be like tomorrow here. And I will definitely let you know, obviously, because that's what I do. Yeah, that was a weather report on the Head On Radio Network. Oh, man. You know, I had to do that report because I like for you guys to know what's happening here locally, what's going on here, you know, where I am, and because I care about what's going on where you are. Now, if you want to get in on the show a little bit later on, you can pick up your telephonic device, whatever it may be, Vonage, Skype, regular telephone handheld device. You can call us. It's 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, Head On. That gets you into the studio there in wild, wonderful West Virginia. My wonderful little telephone answerer, Lorelei, will get on the phone and let you know about how to get on with me. So do join us. This is Conversation Radio here on the Head On Radio Network. I'm going to take a break from the news, and when I come back, we'll have Michael Homan on to talk about Hurricane Katrina. Good to be back with you again this afternoon. This is Bruce Birch. I'll be right back.
Stay tuned for Quality News Network at the...
This is the Quality News Network. In Salt Lake City today, President Bush gave a speech at an American Legion gathering of 12,000 veterans. He predicted victory in the war on terror and compared the fight against Islamic fundamentalism to the battle against Nazism and communism. The latest AP Ipsos poll reveals that only one in three Americans approves of the president's leadership. In Vienna, a report by the International Nuclear Watchdog Agency released today states that Iran has no signs of freezing its uranium enrichment despite Western demands to do so by today's UN deadline. President Bush said today, quote, there must be consequences for Tehran. Earlier today, Iran's president insisted that his country would not accept bullying. At the United Nations today, the U.S. Ambassador John Bolton announced that the UN Security Council must now be ready to impose sanctions on Iran. He added that unanimity on the council was not necessary to move ahead. Across Iraq today, a series of violent attacks, most within a half hour, including two car bombs, left at least 51 people dead. The majority were killed in a Shiite part of Baghdad. More than 126 Iraqis were wounded. Since Sunday, 250 people have been killed in and around Baghdad. In Gaza today, for the first time in several weeks, Palestinian militants fired up to 10 rockets into Israel. There were no reports of damage. In fighting today in the West Bank, Israeli troops killed a Palestinian militant. In southern Lebanon today, a portion of the region has been transferred to the Lebanese army and international troops by the Israeli army. In Sweden, at an international donors conference today, more than $940 million in aid has been pledged by countries around the world to help rebuild Lebanon. The UN Security Council has voted to create a peacekeeping force in Sudan's Darfur region. However, the AP reports that the Sudanese government has rejected giving the UN authority over peacekeepers in their country. In Norway, two Edvard Munch paintings stolen from an Oslo museum by gunmen 2 years ago have been recovered by police. In Mexico, along the Pacific coast, up to 10,000 people are evacuating because of Hurricane John. And along the North and South Carolina coast, hurricane watches are in place as Tropical Storm Ernesto regains strength. And California will soon be the first state in the nation to set broad caps on greenhouse gas emissions. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said he expects America's productivity to keep growing solidly for some time to come. The Commerce Department reports that consumer spending in July rose 0.8%. That's the largest amount in 6 months. In August, retail stores reported solid sales. Merchants such as Walmart, Federated, and Limited Brands did well with back-to-school shoppers. Panasonic will begin selling a 103-inch television set, the world's largest, for $80,000. LG Electronics and Sharp expect a 20-30% drop in prices for flat LCD television sets next year because of overproduction and cost reductions. Mortgage rates fell for the sixth straight week. Freddie Mac reports the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate loan has dropped to 6.44%. Ford Motor is considering the sale of its luxury Aston Martin brand. Ford has owned the British sports car line since 1987 as part of its European luxury unit, which includes Land Rover, and Volvo. And BP officials say they're optimistic that Prudhoe Bay oil production may be returned to normal levels earlier than expected. Light sweet crude settled at $70.26 a barrel today. And near the close of Wall Street, the Dow is down 2 points. The Nasdaq is also down 2. The S&P 500 is flat. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov. It's 5.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
You're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program here on the Head On Radio Network. Got to tell you, it's always wonderful to have folks who are willing to come on and tell their stories about some of the things that have happened in their lives, especially when it comes to storms such as Hurricane Katrina. That one storm probably created more suffering and more hardship for such a huge number of people than we've seen here in a long time. The damage and the impact of that storm will go on for many, many, many years. And people are still today. Now, we had on a guest yesterday who was talking about the if you remember correctly, I think it was 5 hurricanes that went through Florida, like one right after another. Gentleman was on yesterday talking about how he had two hurricanes hit his house in the course of 1 week. Still, the damage there in Florida it paled in comparison to what has happened. What happened a year ago this week in the South, in the Gulf South, down in Mississippi and lower Alabama and Louisiana. Joining me on the line right now is a guest that is going to tell us a little bit about his experiences. Michael Homan is on the line with us. Michael, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm glad to have you on this afternoon. Now, just sort of give us a little bit of a bird's eye view, if you will, or perhaps a person's eye view of what happened. You rode out Hurricane Katrina in your home. What was that like?
Well, we just had one hurricane hit our house, not two, thank God, but it was okay. Terrifying. It was like being in a boat. Our house was shaking back and forth, and it lasted quite a long time. And it wasn't a sustained wind; it was just once in a while there'd just be this giant wallop that would hit you pretty hard. But of course it was terrifying, and then it was very confusing also because then after that, a lot of the neighbors went outside and said we dodged a bullet, but then slowly the waters kept coming up, and we couldn't figure out why. But I live in a two-story house, and, I was fine. I was just staying upstairs for quite a while until the waters went down.
Right. Now, so what city are you in?
I live in New Orleans.
You live in New Orleans. So did you – now, was your home also hit with flood damage?
Yeah, we did have – flood damage, and the biggest problem we have is with our insurance company, right? I think just living through something like Hurricane Katrina would have been the hardest thing we ever would have done in our life. But now it's 1 year later, and although our company has been relatively fair, in our opinion, with how they've handled the flood damage, that has not been the case with wind. And we had both flood and wind insurance with this company, and that's what we can't understand, because our house is leaning tremendously. We have very bad structural damage, It's called, I never knew this before, but they call it, it's racked, right? But in any case, it leans several degrees, and some people have said it's kind of in danger of falling over. But it took our insurance company until February to finally get the engineers out to our house to tell us it was leaning because of wind or flood. And, you know, we knew it was wind, but it didn't matter to us which way they decided to pay it. But now, just a couple months ago, we got a letter from our insurance company saying that they were going to deny our claim for wind entirely because this engineer report said it wasn't windy enough during Hurricane Katrina to make a house lean, and they call our house the Wilson House, which isn't our name. They have pictures in this report that don't belong to our house. It was just mind-boggling. So we've had to suddenly become experts in meteorology and architecture and the law, and we've never filed a lawsuit in our life. But we decided we had to take our insurance company to court to fight this because we can't begin to, we can't even gut our house to start the rebuilding process because if we do, engineers say it'll fall over. It's the plaster and lath that's holding it up right now. So it's a big mess, and it's very frustrating.
I'm sure it is. Now, so you're actually, you're calling me from your house right now, I would imagine.
Yeah, we live on the second floor, and it's very frustrating, too, because we applied for living assistance. Both my wife and I are educators. We don't have a lot of money, but we bought this house about 5 years ago, and we were, you know, very happy about it. It's a beautiful home. But then we applied for living assistance, and FEMA said we weren't eligible because we had flood insurance. We thought, fine, you know, but so anyway, we lived somewhere else when we evacuated for 4 months, and we couldn't afford to keep paying rent and our mortgage. So we decided we would move back here and do a little bit of urban camping. And, you know, thank God, both my wife and I still have our jobs. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. It's been a really long road, and we're confident we're going to be okay in court because our case is great, right? We've documented everything we've done thus far extensively with our insurance company. But, I don't know. It's just we had a contract with them. We thought something like this happened, they'd live up to their end of the bargain. You know, we read about the record profits. Our company made $1.2 billion the last quarter. And I just don't understand it. It just, you know, I can't believe this is happening.
Well, it sounds completely tragic. I can't imagine. I can imagine to a certain degree because I've had some minimal storm damage on my own home with some of the hurricanes that have come through here in North Carolina. But to actually have my house leaning off, the entire house is leaning. You're telling me that if I were to look at the house, it's going to look like something out of a strange cartoon.
Yeah, Tower of Pisa, or some people call it a fun house. It's not so fun.
There's no real way you can actually straighten it up, and you'd have to really sort of start over from scratch at this point, huh?
There is a way. We've talked to lots of structural engineers that say that with jacks they could push it back into place and put plywood on the outside of the house to give it sheer strength. So it'll stay, you know, it'll get back to being in the position it was before the storm. So there is a way to fix it. And, you know, we like living in New Orleans because it has old houses. And this house is 100 years old. And I would hate to see it bulldozed. But, you know, somebody just came by the other day and said it's leaning a little bit more now than it was a couple months ago. So we're just kind of, you know, we would love to get this behind us and move on.
I'm sure.
So
you have... You've had to sue your insurance company to recoup fixing the house. Have you begun any kind of repairs on it at all?
We cleaned it out extensively with bleach, but again, we can't gut it, and so we're just kind of waiting. Our house, we bought it for approximately $150,000, and let's just say we owe, I can't remember, but you know, $140,000 on the mortgage. And right now our house is worth about, as is, $30,000 because it's, you know, so damaged. So, you know, we keep paying the mortgage. And, you know, we're not, we certainly don't want to declare bankruptcy, but at times it seems like a a good option. But you know, then you know, we're, my wife and I are both 40. We have a long time to live, and I think it'd be very difficult with that hanging over your head with bad credit. We're still fighting and trying and everything, and I'm sure we'll be okay in the end. But it's been a long year, you know.
And declaring bankruptcy now is harder than it used to be. You know, with law that was recently passed. I guess it was a couple years ago, that made it very difficult for just the average American to declare bankruptcy. And you know, it seems to me, and I think this is probably, Michael, you may agree with me or not, but it seems to me that you know, for people who are living in a situation such as you're living in, that there would be some sort of special fund or something that would, you know, that would sort of help back up folks who you know, didn't lose everything, but you know, are in danger of losing everything as a result of what happened.
Yeah,
I know that I'm sorry.
I just think that there are funds like that. It just seems like we're being punished because we have insurance. If we didn't have insurance, we would have rental assistance. We would qualify for more assistance from this program they have set up here in Louisiana called the Road Home, all these other things. Uh-huh. So in any case, I guess the system expects that insurance companies will act ethically, but it just doesn't seem to be happening. It's a numbers game, and you know, it's just all about the profit. And I don't think there's anything wrong with making money, but if I have a contract with them and a hurricane comes by, and then they claim it wasn't windy enough during a hurricane to make your house land, that just strikes me as being just very unethical.
So essentially, okay, I'm reading here the something. It says that an engineer actually came out and said that there was no way that the wind could have caused the damage, but the house is leaning. I mean, what else could it have been?
Well, I wonder. I mean, the house next door to mine is leaning the same direction. And then this report says the wind was blowing the wrong direction. But you know what? Luckily, I was in the house, and I had videotape of the wind blowing the same direction as our house is leaning. So that's going to help us in court. If I wasn't here, it'd be much more difficult. So it's just on so many levels. But the insurance company hires an engineering company that works for them. They come out and spend 10 minutes at your house. And then so now the insurance company is not liable when it goes to court. They just say, we were relying on the expertise of this company, but it, you know, it's the same company that has been doing this since hurricanes in the 1990s. When there's a tornado in Oklahoma, they hired this engineering company to go up and you know, anyway, it's just I feel like the people are not being represented, right? It's just it's very frustrating.
Well, you know, I my heart goes out to you, Michael. I certainly hope that you're able to prevail in court. And it sounds like to me, I mean, you know, the only other thing that I think really bugs me about this is that you're going to have to, you know, spend the money, hire the lawyers, do everything that it's going to take, and, you know, and there is no guaranteed outcome, even though you paid your claim, even though you did what most homeowners, you know, are supposed to do, have insurance on your home, do what you're supposed to do to take care of your property. Nonetheless, you know, from an act of God, you're not able to do, you know, to have this taken care of. I really, you know, I certainly hope that you stay in touch with me and let me know how this turns out.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to turn out fine. And finally, if I could add, there's an online petition if anybody's interested in signing it. You know, I'm not
sure.
Entirely sure how much good petitions do, but maybe if there's enough people to sign it, it's called peopleoverprofit.org. And
it's called
peopleoverprofit.org. Yeah. So if you're
okay, peopleoverprofit.
Anybody's interested,
okay. I'll put
look at that. It's up to them.
Okay, I'll put a link on my website at brucebirch.com if anyone's interested. I'll go ahead and do that now. And you said there's a petition there that folks can sign, and that's related to the insurance companies, or
yeah, it's just related to I think if they have enough signatures, they'll petition Congress to pay a little bit more attention to the fact that, you know, profits are fine for the insurance company. That's what they're all about. But when something like this happens, and it could happen to anybody, right, not just on the Gulf Coast or, you know, Florida, or it could happen anywhere. I'm originally from Nebraska, and we had tornadoes all the time. But if you have insurance, and, you know, it's a contract. I don't understand how they get out of it. So that's about it. But thanks a lot, Chris.
Well, you know, thank you for joining me this afternoon, and stay in touch. Drop me an email, Bruce@BruceBirch.com. Let me know how things are progressing, and you know, we'll have you back on at some point. Let us know how well it's going. Okay.
Well, I'll be a lot. When I'll be in a better mood then, and thanks a lot.
I'm sure.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks a lot, Michael. That's Michael Homan from New Orleans, Louisiana, whose house is leaning. And he can't seem to get anybody to do what they need to do to pay for to you know to take care of it. So our heart goes out to you, Michael, and I certainly hope that everything works out for you. You know, and he is one of thousands of people that is dealing with this issue of the insurance companies not taking care of what they need to take care of. Now you can go to my website at BruceBirch.com, and right there on the front page you will see a link to People Over Profit. I'll have to fix that. Go there. You can check it out. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, let's see. We'll try to take whatever phone calls are on the in the hopper. You can call us 1-877-443-2366 or email me Bruce@BruceBirch.com. I'll be right back.
Everywhere is freaks and heroes, dykes and fairies. Tell me where is sanity? Tax the rich, feed the poor. Tell there are no rich no more.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed.
And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
I've seen you in the markets, I've seen you in the streets, and at your political conventions. Talking of your crusade, talking of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and mine. I've just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? Maybe Jesus would bomb the Syrians. because they're not Jews like him. Maybe Jesus would bomb the Afghans.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Burks radio program. It's about 25 minutes past the hour here on this Thursday afternoon. If you're listening at radiopower.org tomorrow, then it'll be 25 minutes past 9 in the morning. Glad to have all of you Radio Power folks on with me. I hope you have enjoyed the program thus far. I wanted to slip back. Now, before I do that, though, the website that Michael Homan just mentioned is actually People Over Profits, with an S, peopleoverprofits.org, and you can get that link right off of the front page of my website at brucebirch.com as well. And basically, it's a grassroots action network to protect justice. And I do challenge you to go check that out. If you are in the southern states and you want to, I think they have a petition up there and some other stuff, you can go check that out. Also, I wanted to again remind you that tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, there will be an encore presentation of Mike Malloy from the old IE America days of the defunct radio network that was the first liberal radio network out there. We will be rebroadcasting that. I'm not sure which show it's going to be, but we'll be rebroadcasting that with permission of Mike Malloy. So do join us at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific for that special broadcast. Now, Mike, I understand, is doing some interviews, so we'll see what happens. I'm reading in the chat room now that apparently Mike says that he feels he was let go for one and or all of these reasons. Number one, his criticism of Israel's invasion of Lebanon. Two, the bombing of the Gaza Strip. Or three, because he had constantly denounced the official story of 9/11. It's a damn sad thing when you are on the media, when you are a media person, and you still cannot avail yourself of your First Amendment rights. Oh, wait a minute. Corporatism trumps that, doesn't it? Making money trumps telling the truth, doesn't it? Or relating the facts, doesn't it? I think if there is any one thing that upsets me worse than anything else about this situation with Mr. Malloy, is that here is a man who has been in radio broadcasting for many, many years and has done a fantastic job of bringing facts to light that you're not going to hear in the regular media. And as a result, what happens to him? He gets ostracized and fired from his job for doing what is he's supposed to be doing. So, you know what that means, doesn't it? Don't you? I bet you do. I bet you do. Now, I'm not going to call you truth seeker. That's his line. I'll call you, I don't know what I'll call you. Listener, how about that? You know what the deal is there, listener, don't you? Corporatism trumps telling the truth. We don't want to upset those people who have the money, do we? No, we don't, because we got to make our money, right? Yeah, well, I'll leave that up to you to decide. As for myself, I certainly hope that no one comes to me to say, Mr. Birch, excuse me, Mr. Birch, can I talk to you for a moment? You've really got to tone down your rhetoric about the Bush administration, because, after all, they're just looking after the safety and welfare of us. They don't want the terrorists to come here and kill us. You don't want that to happen now, do you, Mr. Birch? Do you? At which time I'll reply, Mr. Suit, yeah, you know what to do. Finger, yes, that's down, yeah, exactly, right there, yep, deeper. You can picture whatever that might have been for you. I just, you know, it just bugs the hell out of me when we have a situation in this country where our democracy is at stake, and the one major media network that has prided itself on having hosts that will be telling the truth fires the one that really does do it. What does that say? It tells me that money is the bottom line. One more time again. Now, I'm going to go ahead. I went long with that interview, so I'm going to take another little quick break, and then when we come back, we will hit the phone lines wide open. And take your calls right here on the Head On Radio Network. And you can call me if you want to get in on the last part of the show by dialing 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. We'll take our break. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls. Hang on. We'll get to you.
On the radio. Did you try to read the writing on the wall? Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again. Day by day, I hear the voices.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. When the going gets tough, Rumsfeld gets nasty. That's what he did at the American Legion Convention in Salt Lake City, not exactly a hostile crowd. Wheeling out the false analogy to World War II and the Cold War, Rumsfeld said, once again, we face similar challenges in efforts to confront the rising threat of a new type of fascism. And he accused critics of the administration as being appeasers. Rumsfeld and Cheney are eager to brand any critics as cowards and appeasers, since name-calling is easier than dealing with the mess they've created. But the enemies of the United States right now are in no way comparable to Hitler or to Stalin, who had two of the most powerful militaries of their day. Hitler, but for a few blunders, might very well have conquered America, and Stalin, with his ICBMs, could have incinerated the United States in a nuclear firestorm. Al-Qaeda can't conquer America or destroy us, nor can Iran. But Rumsfeld hypes the threat not only as a way to instill fear in the populace, but also to gag critics. Too bad for him, he's become a running gag, and he and Bush, not their critics, have made America more vulnerable. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing@irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 34 minutes past the hour. Let's head directly, straight on over to our Head On Radio Network free speech phone lines at 1-877-443-2366. Joining us from New York is our good pal, Andrew. Andrew, how are you doing this afternoon?
How you doing, Bruce? And happy belated birthday to you.
I certainly am. I got to tell you, it's completely different than the day before.
Yeah,
but I don't think that had anything to do with my birthday.
I know. But Michael, his story down there in New Orleans. This just goes to show you how it's just a shining light on how when private corporations lose any, you know, sort of ethics. How we need something that's more of like a national, something that we should pay to a responsible, ethical government. Why should we pay our premiums to these private corporations that when in your time of need, you know, they duck and hide and they try and use legal jargon and this and that and the other thing and not, you know, hold up and fulfill their responsibility to the policies that they've written to the homeowner. And this just goes to show you how corrupt corporations in general, especially the international corporations, but corporations in general under this Bush administration, I mean, they're running roughshod right now.
And they really are.
It's sad. I mean, here's a guy that's trying to, you know, do the responsible thing. He paid his premiums. He did everything he had to do, you know, and he wants to keep his home. He's not saying, you know, he doesn't want to file for bankruptcy, even though now the laws are so twisted. You probably, I don't know, would he still be on the hook for the mortgage even if he filed for bankruptcy? I think the new laws are kind of twisted now. Like, don't you can't, like, erase that debt, can you?
Well, you know, this current administration, and I, Michael didn't make the connection, but I will, because the bottom line is that, you know, the current administration and the federal judges down in that area, have tried to create a situation that is basically the same thing that happened with Enron. It's the same thing that happened with Arthur Andersen. It's like, you know, as long as they're a corporation, nobody can be held accountable and nobody can be taken to, you know, or held to account for doing things such as, you know, refusing to pay, an insurance claim that obviously they're liable for.
Yes.
You know, and now with this gentleman, you know, he's an educator. He and his wife are 40.
Yes.
You know, they're the typical, couple who, you know, they're just regular middle class American folks.
Exactly. 5 years into their mortgage, you know, trying to, you know, make ends meet and do the right thing and trying to be, you know, a responsible citizen. And they get duped like this. They get turned out, you know, and it just goes to show you how business environment in America has sunk to, like, you know, they just, like, the Enron debacle and the Silverado debacle, that's their holy grail. That's their Bible. Those situations, those stories, Enron, Silverado, that's their Bible. Any way they can fool the American public and get over and steal and rob, hey, that's what they're all about. And
I swear to you, Andrew, I think sometimes that you know, with that with the Republican and conservatives, that they, it's almost like, you know, like you said, it's a holy grail. It's almost like they have a competition as to how badly they can break the law. You know, the larger the amount of money. Now, if I was to go down here to the corner store and steal $50 out of the cash register, I'm going to do 5 to 10.
Steal a pack of Twinkies, you know, you'll do 5 to 10. I mean,
but if I go out and I start an insurance company, and I defraud people out of millions of dollars, or if I refuse to pay claims, you know, into the billions of dollars, then you know what happens to me? Nothing. Slap on the wrist, if anything.
Exactly. Nothing, because they're the ones that are supporting this government. I mean, in one aspect you say they're not people. You know, corporations aren't supposed to be people. But yet still they have taken over our election. You know,
yes.
They've taken over our political process. And they're people when it comes to that. We'll consider them as, you know, like a human entity or a human being when it comes to elections. But when it comes to, you know, like doing the ethical thing and upholding to their responsibilities, no, we're not people. We're a corporate entity and we can do whatever we want. If we can, you know, get the courts to, you know, side with us, then that's fine. We can screw over people and do whatever we want. And that's where we're at right now in the business arena. And I have a 4-year accounting degree, and right now I wanted to go to work for, you know, in accounting, okay? But I can't do it. I'm just like, I'm so disgusted with the business environment these days that, hey, there's no loyalty out there to any of the workers. You're here today, gone tomorrow. There's no job security. And I don't want to do anything unethical. You know, I just can't do it. So right now I'm in my current position, which is in healthcare, but I can't go there, you know? And I have, you know, arguments with friends, you know, and it's like, yay, well, you're cutting off your nose, it's like you're, you know, whatever, but I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I know I'm not making the big decisions. I wouldn't be making the big decisions, but I can't sit there and count these illegal profits for these people.
Right. And I got to, you know, I mean, just as a comment on that, you know, I used to, before I did the radio thing and the other stuff that I do, I, at one point in my life, was an electrical contractor, and I had my own business and did, you know, wired houses and did contracting work and commercial buildings and that kind of thing. And, you know, I remember being in business for myself and competing against some of the other electrical contractors and hearing about some of the things that they were doing in order to you know, make a few more dollars on this or a few more dollars on that. You know, and oftentimes, you know, my bids were higher than those guys. But then they would turn around and do things such as unapproved changes of work and et cetera, and then, you know, back charge and do a lot of really what I would term to be unethical practices.
Exactly. It all,
you know,
boils down to ethics.
You know, and so
America's business environment is sorely missing ethics these days. And I mean,
it really is.
It
starts at the top.
There's always been unethical things going on in business, in the business world. But now it just seems like it's common practice, you know, and I don't want to be a part of that. You know, and,
well, you know, and it's and it starts at the top, Andrew. I think that the bottom line is we have no ethics in our government. You know, if someone can out a CIA agent and get away with it and not go to prison for treason, what does that say to the rest
exist.
Of the world?
Right now, that word does not exist anymore. It doesn't exist. You can strike it out of your Webster's. It's done. Strike it out of out of Wikipedia, wherever. You know, it's like. And that filters down, because when you have the big internationals doing it, it filters all the way down to little small corporations. It filters right on down. That becomes common business practice because, you know, people got to stay competitive. And the way business stays competitive today is by doing anything unethical they can get away with as long as it fattens the bottom line.
Right.
And that's what I see. And Michael's story is a prime example of just that.
Yeah, and you know, Andrew, and you're getting some comments. I don't know if you've ever been to our chat room, but you're getting some comments out of the chat room. Folks are you know, sending out big shouts to the caller, and thank you for your stance, and another big thank you for sharing and your ethical stance. Because, you know, and the reality is that what really bothers me most, Andrew, is that it seems like people like you and I who want to operate on the ethical side of the equation are becoming fewer and fewer and fewer and harder to find.
Exactly. And I'm not saying like a business can't make a profit, but make an ethical profit. Why do you have to like, why can't you, make a half, like he said his insurance company made like $1 billion, you know, last quarter. Why couldn't they deal with 500 million, you know, or 750 million?
Exactly.
I mean, that's where it boils down to. I mean, they'll just squeeze and squeeze and squeeze and do anything they want to do to fatten that bottom line. Even say, well, we can squeeze $1 more million out of this. You know, we'll falsify these claims. We'll shred these claims. We'll do whatever, you know, and that's not right. And that's just criminal.
And it's also invaded our Medicaid system. It's invaded, the whole Medicaid Part
Medicare?
D. And, I mean, all of
Medicare?
It.
I worked in Medicare. Oh, God. I mean, you should see. I mean, they're pushing all of those Medicare Part D, all those prescriptions and everything like that. But when somebody goes into a nursing home, this is what happens. If they have it written in there that says if they don't have Part D or the Part D company says they're not covering this drug anymore, because as long as they notify you within like 60 or 90 days, they can stop, you know, paying for a certain medication. The nursing home has to pick it up, or wherever that, you know, elderly person is, they have to pick it up. And that's just putting, you know, tremendous pressure on nursing homes. And a lot of people aren't seeing it, but they're starting to see it now. I mean, in the beginning of this year, our prescription bills were, you know, lower. But now they're starting to jack up because they're starting to change the formulary. And that's what they're doing. And now we have people that, you know, need medication, a certain prescription, can't get it. you know. But and we're not going to, you know, not deny them from having it, because then they'll die or whatever, or they'll have other complications. So we provide it, and we have to pay for it. You know, that's how they're doing it. They're shifting everything. It's just like it. This administration is the most corrupt, most unethical, most. There's no words to describe it. It's just as bad.
Yes, there are. They're a gang of criminals and thugs, and they're a crime family, as Mike Malloy mentioned. That's exactly what they are. And you know what? It is amazing to me the shift that has happened. You know, these folks on the right have gone from the years of Bill Clinton, where, you know, where it's all about the rule of law, no man is above the law, to let's break the law as much as we can, and, you know, if we do it enough, people will think it's legal.
Well, now it's like they're all caught up in that neo-patriotism, but like today, you know, I was talking to one lady, and she was like, you know, she's a religious right-winger, and she was saying, oh, yeah, my son's thinking about, you know, he got a job as a teacher, and he's thinking about buying a house in a certain part of town where I'm at. And I'm like, well, she's like, oh, well, the houses are starting to sell for a lot below market value and blah, blah, blah. I told her like this, and I shouldn't even say anything, because I was like, tell your son don't buy nothing right now. First of all, the taxes on that side of town are sky high. And I said, no matter, you know, what, I said, sit tight. Tell him to sit tight. And I only did that out of goodness my heart because, you know, I didn't want to see him go out there and overextend himself, because something's going to go down as far as the housing market is, and it's going down right now, okay? They can talk about a bubble every day, talking about the economy's rosy. It's not rosy. People are hurting, all right? And everything I said to her, it was the first time that she never came back with, like, a rebuttal, like, oh, you're a moonbat, or this, that, the other thing, or blah, blah, blah. She just sat there and listened. Because I just told her, I said, look in your wallet. Look in your bank account. Is the economy doing great for you? You can say nothing. I said, if you're rich, I said, if you got seven zeros behind the one, you know, if you got one with seven zeros behind it, yeah, you might be doing okay. Because that's what it's geared for. It's geared for the millionaires. It ain't geared for you. She couldn't say anything. That was the first time she really didn't say anything, and then she had a real worried look on her face. And I was like, hey, wise up. Wise up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, you come in here and you complain every day about, oh, I don't know how my kids are going to make it. Wise the hell up. Can you eat neo-patriotism, you can't eat it.
And these people have been voting, you know, in complete opposition to what they need, you know, to the, against their own best interest is the best way to put it.
Yes. Well, against their best hope, they've been fooled. They've been so fooled, and, you know, it's sad. It's just sad. It's sad to where this country is right now. I mean, not that Clinton was the best person or whatever, because we know he wasn't with all his deregulation, because he's suspect too. Hillary Clinton's suspect. All of them are suspect. But, hey, now's the time to wise up. We got to get some balance in this thing. Because there's going to be some tough times ahead, and we're going to need some responsible leaders in D.C., and that's the bottom line. Or else, you know, you can just, like, hang it up pretty much. So, but there's, I think they're starting, the wool's starting to come off, but I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see in November.
I think we will, and I think it's going to be surprising to a lot of people. So, Andrew, thank you for the call. I appreciate you calling in this afternoon, and definitely we'll look forward to hearing from you again, my friend.
All righty. Take it easy, Bruce.
Okay, you too. Thanks for calling. That's our friend Andrew from New York. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll close this puppy down. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Children, and you're screaming at my wife, get off of my bed.
the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights, meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Let's go back to the phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hi there, Bob.
Well, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
That's fine, sir. You have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on the subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. Very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
We won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head On.
And you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 52 minutes past the hour. We're about to run into the 7 o'clock hour, and our good friend Bob Kincaid, I was thinking today about how I could describe him, and the best way that I can describe him is he is a tall glass of West Virginia moonshine. That's right. It'll bite you hard, but it'll warm your belly. That's Bob Kincaid. Head On with Bob Kincaid coming up next here on the Head On Radio Network. Also, later on this evening at 10 p.m., there will be an encore presentation of the Mike Malloy Show from the defunct IE America Radio Network. That show tonight will be I'm just being told that it's going to be the Mike Malloy Show from May the 1st, 2003, the same day that George Bush declared mission accomplished in Iraq. Yeah, that's right. You know, that same place where 95% of the people who've been killed have been killed since May the 1st, 2003. Yeah, that place. So join us tonight at 10 o'clock for a commercial-free version of the Mike Malloy Show encore presentation. Definitely a good thing. It's about 2 hours long, and it runs from about, I think it's about 10 to 12 midnight, and then after that, you'll get some of our shows on repeat. Now, also, you can join if you are joining the show late. You can pick up this show rebroadcast at radiopower.org. So go over to radiopower.org, click on the Progressive Talk link, and you can find out how to listen to this show in the mornings. Apparently, I will be on from 8 until 10 a.m. at radiopower.org. We've talked about a lot of different things today. We talked about the insanity, the catapulting of the propaganda by the Bush administration, the Bush thug crime family, and you know, the reality is, folks, is that you know, early in the show we had a guy named David on from Eureka, California. When David came on, he talked about going to a political discussion group. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to get out and make yourself available and work hard to make sure that we do what we need to do to marginalize. If we can't drive them out of power, then we need to at least marginalize them. We need to change the conversation. We're doing that here on the Head On Radio Network. We're also doing, I do a lot of things individually. I go out and do a lot of activism-related stuff myself because I believe in it. I believe that, you know, being a citizen of this country means that I have to. It's a requirement of being civically active. Have to be. There's no question in my mind about that. So, you know, do go out and try to make a difference. After all, indeed, one person can change the world, right? Because, indeed, it's really the only thing that ever has changed the world is one person. And you could be that person. So try to do that tomorrow, today, whenever you can. Now, also, Camp Democracy is getting fired up next week. Camp Democracy. campdemocracy.org. You'll be hearing some promos here on the Head On Radio Network related to that. We're going to be broadcasting live a week from tomorrow in Washington, D.C. at Camp Democracy. Should be an interesting time, so I do encourage you to tune in. Now, tomorrow on here on this show, I'm working on a couple of special guests. I'm not going to tell you who they are yet because I haven't confirmed, but hopefully we'll have some very interesting guests on this radio program tomorrow. So do tune in at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll be here live, and, you know, you can be too. I'd like to thank our good friend Zach Rebich for producing the program, and to Laura Lai as well for being our screener there at the Head On Radio Network. I also want to thank John Fox for announcing this program and for being the engineer of the Head On Radio Network. Thank you, John, for all you do. Also want to thank Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for archiving this stream and managing this stream and all of the programs here on the Head On Radio Network. You do a great job, mate. Thank you very much. Gene in Oregon for being our chief news blogger at the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com website. Fantastic job. Peter Godbold out of Godbold Computer Services of Tallahassee, Florida, for being our IT professional. We really appreciate all the work that you do to help us out. Fantastic. We're just a great bunch of folks here. Great bunch of folks. And also to the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights, you guys are building the American dream, and thank you for sponsoring all of the programming here on the Head On Radio Network. Fantastic. Last but not least, thank you, listeners, for joining me for another show today about returning America to the democracy that it once was. We've got to take America back, and we're doing it one show at a time right here on the Head On Radio Network. Finally, remember, folks, it's your democracy, too, and it's not a spectator sport. So go out and try to make a difference in your world. This has been Bruce Birch. Stay tuned for Bob Kincaid coming up next right here on the Head On Radio Network. I'll see you tomorrow.
Prison doors swung open. Mothers hugged their sons. The Liberty Bell was ringing when the cops put down their